Previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
Guys, I can't wait for next week. We're going to have such an amazing special video playing in the middle of our show. Like, a few of them, in fact.
You know, the thing is, I thought those were licorice, like, strips, but they were shoelaces, and they didn't taste as good. They tasted very similar, but not as good.
Three words. Utz crab chips. Just amazing.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I am Aya Zaktar.
And I'm Eric Sandin.
And together, we're pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Eric, how are you? We did not have you on in the last episode.
Yeah, I was in Baltimore visiting family.
What mic are you on, by the way? Eric, you sound like you are in a room mic.
No, I should be on... Well, let's look, shall we? Let's do it live.
Fuck doing this shit before we roll.
Jonathan sounds good. I assume I sound good, but Eric sounds like he's like at Mars.
Yeah, I need to actually plug in my mixer and probably make sure my microphone still works. But
I'm gonna buy Eric a microphone.
Eric is on my list of several co-hosts I need to buy a microphone for.
Anyway, so this week, I'm so happy.
This week on. Why are you so happy, Ayaz?
Because we finally get to talk about this god-awful movie that, Jonathan, you picked, right?
I did pick this one. And you know what? I think, ultimately, this was an ideal pick for this show.
Yes,
I think this is one of those rare times we find a truly terrible movie that has stuff that is entertaining, but not in the way the movie had intended it to be.
So Robin Hood, The Ghost of Sherwood. And now last week, Jonathan and I talked about how long we watched the movie, and we'll talk about it again. So the real question is, Eric, how long did you watch the movie before you went to a second screen?
It was about 23 minutes. It was right after the long monologue he gave about wealth
socialism.
Disparity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you lasted more than twice as long as I did. I went 10 minutes, 1 second.
I went 54 minutes and 5 seconds.
Whoa. All right.
Yeah. So for those who don't know why we're even saying this, because we didn't set it up, what we sometimes do on this show is we'll pick a really bad movie on Netflix. Doesn't have to be a bad one. It just tends to be. And then we try to see how much of our undivided attention we can dedicate to said terrible movie before we give up and either get a second screen going or talk to somebody, or in the case of those two yahoos, crack open a frosty adult beverage and enjoy it. I cannot do that. But at any rate, we figure out how far into the film we were able to dedicate our full attention. In this case, I'm the one who picked the movie, and I spent the least amount of time dedicating my full attention to it.
Yeah, so this movie was a movie.
Yes.
People.
It had characters.
Yes.
And kind of a story.
So before we get into one of our recaps, Eric, did you take any notes?
I didn't. I took zero notes on this film.
That's fine. I took copious notes. I know that Jonathan, you said you took some notes.
Oh yeah, I got a shit ton of notes.
Okay, so I suggest we listen to Jonathan's notes before we get into the actual movie. And when there's a point where we want to interject, because it will happen, we talk about this movie. So what we're going to do, by the way, is we're going to spoil this movie. So if you have never seen Robin Hood, Ghosts of Sherwood Forest,
pause now.
Yeah, please pause right now because we're going to spoil the hell out of this movie.
Before you consider watching Robin Hood, Ghost of Sherwood Forest, think about the last really bad decision you made in your life and reflect on that for a while, and then decide whether or not to play Robin Hood, Ghost of Sherwood Forest.
I have so many notes. I'm going to put it. By the way, I'm going to put it on Pastebin. We'll have a link at bestpodcastof2014.com. Because that's this show.
I wish... Now, Ayaz has even gone so far as to pull some of the audio from the movie to illustrate a couple of points. I wish I had thought of that, because there's one segment in particular, it would have come in really handy. And I'll get to that. Well, not too far into my notes, because it's fairly early in the film.
All right. That's not early enough. So, Jonathan, please go ahead with your notes. I have over 3,000 words of notes.
And Eric, feel free to pipe up whenever you feel yeah. like it.
All right, so here we go, guys, live. Jonathan.
So I said, all right, it's shot on what appears to be fairly high quality digital video. So I'm guessing like between 2K and 4K, something around those lines. But everything looks like it was shot on high quality digital video. It doesn't look cinematic at all. It looks very video. Also, this could be called bad lip reading the movie, because there is a ton of ADR and it almost but not quite matches up with the original performances. I say that now. It turns out in the credits, there's actually a credit for someone who wrote the lip sync script, which makes me wonder if the original one was in German and then they lip synced all the lines in English and had English actors who could speak English dubbing it over, or if it went the other way. Either way, it never looks like what people are saying is quite matching up with how they're saying it. Anyway, so far, no one is doing an English accent. Spoiler alert, no one does an English accent. It's set in England. No one ever even attempts an English accent.
And this movie's 1 hour and 53 minutes. So it's a long time with no accents.
Yeah. No, you get accents. They're just not English ones. I'm just under 11 minutes in as I write this note. Everyone speaks with a dull American accent. Female character, who turns out to be Maid Marian, but I didn't know it at the time. Female character introduced has no personality and no inflection in her voice, which is true. She speaks in a monotone for almost the entire film. Also, her voice really reminds me of bad lip reading, when sometimes it's clear that a man has dubbed the voice for a female and had it pitched up. So, you know what I'm talking about? Like when they do bad lip reading and they show like The Walking Dead, and sometimes it's a female character where clearly it's a guy who did the line delivery, but they pitch the tone of the voice up. Mm-hmm. So it creates like supposed to be a female voice. That's what she sounded like at times. Fight sequence that opens up the movie is like any Renaissance Festival combat show. Not bad, but not remarkable. Female character has... what's that?
Yeah. Wait, so I was telling Liz about this movie this evening. We're walking around, I'm like... So we're watching this movie, I'm telling about the whole thing. It's basically watching really bad LARPing. Like, yes. I have a sword, you die, you die. And they're like, oh, I died. And you're like... Your costumes are great for, like, 2016, and you paid $50. And your little, like, boot coverings that you can clearly see the Timberland boots you're wearing. It happens a lot in this movie that they have the boot coverings.
That initial scene got me when somebody smashed a watermelon with a mallet. That part was amazing. It was supposed to be a head. Obviously a watermelon, but it looked real.
Gallagher was... an unstoppable beast.
Right.
I also thought that some of the costume pieces looked like they came straight from Party City. But anyway, I've got where the fight was not great, but it's not terrible. Like, it was decent fight choreography, but fight choreography you would see at like a Renaissance Festival stage combat show. So not good for a movie. Female character has all her guards slain. So she's traveling through the woods with a group of guards, bandits set upon them. The bandits end up managing to kill all the guards. She meets up with random rogue dude who I guess is Robin Hood? ? Didn't know at this time. They hadn't introduced him yet. He's a very unimpressive Robin Hood, if that's the case. He may have even introduced himself already. What the hell do I know? Maybe Robin Hood introduces Maid Marian to his merry men. Oh, someone just called him Robin, so he's now definitely Robin Hood, just a very unimpressive one. Will Scarlet is a bigger guy with a smaller voice. Very, very, very odd. Which is true. Will Scarlet is kind of like, he looks like a frat dude, but his voice is higher pitched than Robin's is.
Can we talk about Robin Hood's voice, by the way? Because yeah. I have my notes, and he sounds like every time he delivers a line, it sounds like he's the guy who tells you, like, please keep your hands inside the ride the whole time. every single time he tells you a line, like, Marion, I don't like what you're saying, but then again, it's okay. Like, he sounds like a safety warning the whole fucking movie. Did you guys pick that up?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It was not very convincing line delivery ever. Maid Marian is the cousin to the Sheriff of Nottingham. Robin Hood is trying to get on her good side by saying he'll bury her guards the next day. Because she asks him not to steal from the dead guards. We cut to night when everyone is standing around a fire and shifting back and forth on their legs while clapping. I guess this is dancing? It's the worst dancing I've ever seen. Next morning, everyone is nursing hangovers by the smoldering ashes of the earlier fire, and we get treated to jaunty woodwinds playing.
All right, so
go ahead.
I'm actually tracking my notes as you talk.
Yeah.
In the morning, everyone's waking up. People strewn about like litter. Marion equals hungover. I have 16:46. First time I look at the time. Aren't these guys supposed to be ghosts? Are they ghosts already? Because that would be awesome.
Spoiler alert. No, they are not. Also, another spoiler alert, because I just feel like fucking spoiling it. There are no goddamn ghosts in this movie.
Not
okay,
one.
Moving on.
Not
moving
one.
On. Woman hangs random pieces of cloth up to dry. Kids toss teeth or rocks or bones or something up in the air and catch it because the internet hasn't been invented yet. I'm not going to write down everything that happens because it will make these notes too long, but I will say right now that the acting in this film is akin to a parody show at a Renaissance festival. And then as soon as I finished writing that, my favorite exchange in the entire movie happens. Now, I know that you have one that you think is the best line delivery of all time, which is in a scene that Kane Hodder, who played Jason Voorhees in like three of the Friday the 13th movies, is in this as Little John, but he doesn't show up till almost the end of the fucking movie. And yeah. I think that's there's a scene with Little John that you say has the best line delivery, right? Mm-hmm. I argue that the scene with the best line delivery happens near the beginning with Robin Hood and Marian, where Robin is trying to explain how he and his men are able to survive in the woods without civilization and also without actually admitting that they are thieves. And so Marian says something akin to, but how do you earn money to buy what you need? And Robin says, the land provides for it. And then Marian says, what? And I swear the pause I did was as long as the pause in the movie.
No,
I mean,
you're not wrong.
I laughed so hard, I rewound it and watched it three more times.
No, you're not wrong. In the previous episode of A Podcast of Pretense, we talked about this whole thing where, like, this entire sequence where Robin Hood explains why he steals and why Marion explains that's a bad thing. It's a good discussion, but it's like literally 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So
yes. And one of the reasons it's 10 minutes long is Maid Marian is fucking thick as anything. She just can't seem to grasp certain concepts. And so you get the same points of the conversation like six times, which is that's why it takes 10 minutes to get through it.
Yeah, Robin it wasn't like he was explaining anything new anytime he said something for those entire 10 minutes. He was saying same thing.
Right, he just restates his argument in very almost exactly the same way. It's really not even restating it. It's just I guess it is restating it. It's not explaining it in a new way. It's just literally saying it again. So here's some more. Seriously, the pause before that what was insane. Robin refers to England as the King's Island, which is weird. Super long conversation. Oh, this is where we get into the actual socialism conversation. And I want to read these. Let me get at least to the point where I totally lose my shit before we break it again. So here goes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Super long conversation between Robin Hood and Marian, mostly to establish that the Sheriff of Nottingham is a total dick. Robin offers to escort Marian through the forest. She jokes that he should leave his bow behind because he can't shoot for shit. wow. Even more long conversations between Robin and Marion about the wealthy, the poor, and Robin's philosophy. And good Lord, it goes on forever. Oh, Christ, this conversation about the class system is dumb and long and dumb. That's where I lost it.
Okay, so my notes on this exact same scene. Maid Marion is amazing. Her delivery is unbelievably bad. It's like porn or WWE. Robin Hood takes a walk to the treasure room. Marion follows. He explains that dead men don't need money. Marion says that Robin Hood's a thief. Robin Hood defends his position. Marion is stuck on this idea that Robin Hood is a thief. Marion tries to leave, but Robin Hood keeps talking to her, defending his position. I feel like this conversation should be 2 to 4 minutes. It seems to be dragging. Yep, now 24 minutes in. Robin Hood is winning over Marion. Whoa. Did a wasp or a hornet land on Marion's head? Because it actually does. It happens in the movie. No movement by Marion. Impressive. Marion is now under Robin Hood's spell because she's all about fucking over her cousin, the sheriff. Marion masterminds his plan to steal from the sheriff.
And that's the way that I has just described that is exactly how this goes. There is this really long discussion in which Marion doesn't change her mind at all. And then within about a second, she's planning how to rob her cousin.
She has her own motivation for robbing her cousin. She says that the sheriff sent his wife away on a very dangerous voyage with absolutely no concern for her safety, and she dies as a result of that. And so Marion wants revenge against her cousin because she feels that her cousin was being criminally negligent toward his wife. He really didn't care for her at all and sent her out to her death, essentially. So she wants revenge.
My notes say this. This is the next note, and Jonathan, you can go ahead after this. Note says, anyone seen Kane Hodder yet?
That question will continue to pop up for the next 50 minutes. More than that. For the next probably hour and 10 minutes. So also, Robin's tunic is super long and distracting and also obviously machine sewn by the stitching. Actually impressed this tunic is more or less accurate to the period, which should be the 12th century. That was just me quoting on the fact that his tunic's the right length, but I can see that it's machine stitched, so that's distracting.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's so many things wrong with the costume. You're like, I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure I saw proper shoes today, just covered up like boot coverings. It's like, come on.
The super cheap Naga hide things that you just tie on top of shoes. Mm-hmm. You're gonna say something, Eric?
Oh, no. I was talking about the sweater, too. It was just funny because I noticed that as well. I remember the scene. He's, sitting on a log or something that and stands up. And I'm like, that's a nice sweater he's got there. He must have got that at the Gap or something.
So I've gotten the next note is, and now Robin, Will, and Friar Tuck are walking Marion to Nottingham and having a conversation about a potion that can magically cause you to change form if you take 6 drops. But if you take 9, you change forever. Friar Tuck might be the worst actor of the bunch, though it's tough to compete against Marion and Robin and Will and everyone.
Wait a second. Friar Tuck is the worst actor of the bunch? It's like,
Friar Tuck acts a lot like this, which is exactly the way no human being has ever acted ever.
Okay, so what I thought was, one, he's a religious man, so he would talk like that. And two,
what the fuck? He could be a fucking atheist. He'd still be the worst fucking actor in the world.
No. Wait. The shit that he's spewing maybe is in dogmatic training. But anyway, he is the most Disney-like character in the whole fucking movie because he's all like, this is the way that people are. And I talk like this all the time. How was God? Godly. Why do you keep talking like this? I don't know. But he belonged in Robin Hood, and nobody else did. Continue.
I gotta disagree there. He belonged in a loony bin. All right, so moving on. Transformation process. they decide that they have to transform themselves in order to infiltrate the Sheriff of Nottingham's castle. And here's where we get to a point that I think all three of us can have some conversation and wonder what the fuck was happening. So what transformation happens? Process. They've got a potion. A potion, like I said, 6 drops lets you physically transform so you look like someone else. Presumably, you don't get to pick what you look like. You just kind of randomly transform into looking like a different person. And transformation process sees Robin fall to the forest floor, writhing in pain, followed by Will, then Marion. We don't see what transformed Robin and Will look like for a long time. They wear hooded robes. And now here we get to the crux of the matter.
Yeah.
So wait, why does Marion transform? She claims that if she goes looking like someone else, she can claim to be herself. Then if things go badly, she'll transform back to her true self and say that the girl everyone thought was Marion was an imposter. But what? I mean, how would they recognize her as Marion if she doesn't look like Marion? And people do recognize her. People recognize her as Marion right away, as soon as they lay eyes on her. So she's transformed. The actress that has been playing Marion is now, there's a different actress playing Marion. She does not look the same as the first actress. She's wearing the same outfit, but guess what? People can wear different motherfucking outfits. So what the fuck? People at Sheriff of Nottingham's Castle take a look and like, oh, hi, Marion. I'm like, okay, what? How did they recognize her as Marion?
It was extremely confusing. I remember listening to like the reasoning for her to transform and going, well, okay, that doesn't make any sense. And then when she gets to the castle, I'm just like, wait, maybe I missed something. And I actually rewound to watch that scene. And I was like, nope, I didn't miss anything.
We all did that. Jonathan did it, because we talked about this last week. Jonathan did that, and I did that. And there's no explanation until the very end of the movie, which makes no sense.
And then it doesn't
still
make sense. Yeah.
But yeah, I got to read my notes based on what you're saying, because I only highlighted my actual good points. So Robin Hood takes a potion of change. 6 drops later, stomach pains. (Parentheses) Will could have tricked Robin Hood here to kill him, since Will suggested killing other people. Wait, hang on. So Will suggested killing other people, and he doesn't seem to care for Robin Hood's leadership, because this whole movie is about like being equals, and they're not equals. Oh, is this what kills them? Please be the thing that kills them. Robin Hood and Will ride around in pain. Marion follows suit. Lots and lots of groaning. Nope. They still live.
Okay. Still well, no here's how I conclude that paragraph, because I actually stopped to address this. But here it goes. People recognize her as Marion right away, and her transformed self looks significantly different from her normal self. So how are people recognizing her if she doesn't look the way she should? And how is this plan supposed to work? And oh my God, my nose is bleeding. Next. Meanwhile, Friar Tuck creates a distraction by framing an innocent vegetable vendor and fomenting racist and religious prejudice.
Can I, as the brown man, read my notes, please?
Please do, brown man.
Yeah, go for it.
Fiddle, hang on. Before that, Tom Savini, swordplay, purple scarf. Anyway, but she has a new face. I must have missed something. That's actually when I went back. My bold notes, brown man. Middle Eastern people in the kingdom, and their shopkeepers. Racist? Is this a convenience store joke? Tuck. Shut up. Tuck is trying to set a mess in the marketplace. Tuck moved cabbage of another vendor to mess with the brown guy. Now Tuck is saying the shopkeeper won't sell to men of the cloth, and a fight breaks out. These shopkeepers don't trust each other? I'd imagine they'd seen each other in the marketplace before, and maybe have a rapport. But nope, they fight because they suck.
Yeah,
that's also why that confused me too. Like when that scene happened, I'm like, these people have seen each other before. Like they must be regular vendors here.
What Friar Tuck is trying to do is just create a distraction so that Robin and Will can infiltrate the sheriff's castle by going up the shit chute, essentially. It really is supposed to be the part of the castle where all the refuse comes out. So they have to climb up a shit-covered chute and come out of the toilet on the inside of the castle. So Friar Tuck is creating a distraction, and he's doing so by framing this innocent Middle Eastern vegetable vendor. And he does it by stealing vegetables from one cart, putting them onto this guy's cart, and then asking to buy the vegetables that he's just stolen and put in this new cart. And the guy's like, I don't sell those. He's like, what do you mean you do not sell them? They are right here, says Friar Tuck in a voice just like that. He says, this scene takes about five times longer than it needs to, which is every scene in the goddamn movie. As Friar Tuck tries to buy, quote, cabbage and some herbs from the vendor, who only sells carrots and fruit. And then we see the top. We see a top of a house that is vaguely castle-like, then a totally different castle as they walk up to the gate, which I thought was hilarious. Like it's like here's a picture of a house that's vaguely castle-ish. Here's a totally different wall setting that we use to as a scene. The plan for Robin Hood and Will is to climb up the refuse chute where the poop comes out and emerge into the castle to steal the treasure. So maybe the transformation bit happened so that the actor playing Robin didn't have to pretend to be covered in shit. Doesn't matter. They steal a treasure that looks like it came out of a toy store. One of those bins where you can fill a bag with precious gems and gold coins. They really do look like total fake plastic Party City style gold and gems. Robin and Will take the treasure and try to escape, but the sheriff has the gates closed, so Robin and Will are caught by guards as they hand the treasure off to Friar Tuck, who is on the other side of the gate. Tuck then scurries away like a donkey on barbiturates, meaning that he barely fucking moves. Tuck is predictably caught. Do you have something else you want to add, Ayaz? Or shall I continue?
One moment, please. So I have my notes, which say, it's building what you're saying. Robin Hood and Will come up the toilet. Robin Hood ties up Marion, as is the plan, kisses Marion before he leaves, while covered in excrement.
Yes.
Because that's what you do. Marketplace fight continues. Guards come to stop the fight. Are the guards trying to drown a shopkeeper for the fight? Because they actually put a guy's head in like a trough. Someone yells, toss the gold. And they give it to Tuck on the other side of the gate. And Tuck is the one sprinting away with the money. And he's managing to get away. My next note's in bold. 40 minutes and 51 seconds in. No one is dead like the title said they would be. There are no ghosts, by the way. 40 minutes in and nobody is dead.
Spoiler alert again. 1 hour and 53 minutes in, still no ghosts.
So I'll leave with this point. Tuck is being circled by horses. Please, somebody die.
Yeah.
Jonathan?
Tuck is predictably caught. The sheriff puts Tuck and Will and Robin all in the dungeon. The sheriff has Tuck strangled to death, and then Will gets his neck snapped by a jailer, and Robin is made to watch. They leave Robin alone, and remember, Robin and Will are both transformed at this point. They leave Robin alone, and he eventually transforms back into himself. The guards are confused, thinking the prisoner they had has been replaced by someone else. So they take the new prisoner, which is Robin in his original form, down to bring him to the sheriff, and he conveniently escapes from being chained up off screen, literally. So he's chained in like a stock, like his arms are chained far apart from one another. The two guards lead him off screen through a doorway, and then you hear some noise, and then immediately Robin pops back out. So you don't see how he got away at all. He just magically did.
Same notes. Robin Hood kills both guards off screen very quickly. Why not steal the guards' clothing to get out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So suddenly Robin is free with a sword. So all the archers miss Robin when he's close to the castle. But once he gets into the forest, arrows hit him like he's an arrow magnet. He's shot in the back twice.
I have the same
from quite a distance, it seems.
Wait, yeah, I have the same notes. I have he gets hit about 400 feet away from the castle wall in the forest. Takes the second arrow in the back about 1,000 feet from the wall because the wall's nowhere in sight. Robin Hood starts walking up a cave or something. I love that we all notice this.
So now we're in the witch's den. Robin wakes up. The witch explains that she used a potion. By the way, you better fucking get used to the word potion, because I'm about to use it 800 goddamn times.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. The witch explains that she used a potion to bring Robin back from the brink of death. She explains that he must give permission to her for the rest of the cure. Also, these assholes have a potion for everything. Transformation. Bringing back from the dead. The witch says she used a potion of strength to carry Robin to her den, and she explains that fire won't burn her because of a potion of protection. A bit later, we hear about potions of death. You know, like poison. Oh, and potions of life. Oh, and potions of undead. This movie should be called Robin Hood. This movie should be called Robin Hood Potions, Potions, Potions.
Interestingly, the potion of protection only protects against fire. That is it.
It's a very specific potion of protection.
Yep.
There's another potion that I don't think we ever actually get to see what the benefits of the potion were. We're told what they were, but I don't think we ever see it. I'll get to that later. So the potion says that Robin would get 3 years of life, but then his soul is, quote, relinquished, end quote. The witch's laugh might be the best thing in this movie because the ADR totally doesn't match the screen. Her laugh is essentially heh, 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 while the video looks like she's cackling. Robin makes a deal with the witch. He'll bring back his friends' bodies, and if they've been dead less than the rotation of the sun, the witch will resurrect them with the undead potion. By rotation of the sun, I wonder if she means a full 24 hours, because that's not a rotation of the sun.
Well, that's not what that means. It's the 12th century. They're wrong. So, like, look, so... By the way, at this point, you guys both gave up, and I'm still watching this thing uninterrupted. So my notes get more and more angry. So I'm going to read my notes a little bit here. All right, so this is back when the witch and Robin Hood are like at the witch's shack.
Yep.
Robin Hood, quote, this is a quote, got anything to bring somebody back from the dead without taking their soul? Witch, yep, potion of the undead. Robin Hood is all... You could have let me die, then bring me back for my soul. You could have brought me back, let me die, then have my soul. Which is all like, yeah, but I have motives. You can only bring them back as long as they have not been dead for more than one day. If you wait too long, no, they're not humans that return. The fucking title says they will be ghosts. We know this negotiation will work. Stop dragging out, you fuckers. 5405, I need a break.
That's the moment that the movie broke guy
out. So angry.
So I've got this where, and she gives him more potions. A potion of strength to help him carry his friends back, and a potion that turns his greatest weakness in battle to his greatest advantage. So this is how Robin becomes a great archer. Luckily, the witch has a weapon potion to make a magical bow. She also scats. Shoo ma shi shoo sha shoo do sha sha. Almost all the potions require that you say some sort of ridiculous nonsense word. Then, a joke, she splashes him with a potion to clean him up because he smells like shit. Ha 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 ha. Okay, so Robin goes to retrieve the bodies of Tuck and Will. He shoots a bunch of guards, finds the bodies, and carries them into the forest. He leaves his bow behind. His magic bow. He then hears a dog bark in the distance. Then, for no goddamn reason, he attacks a woman and a man walking in armor down the forest road and steals the woman's shield and sword. I can't stress this enough. These two poor bastards were just walking down the forest lane. They're not rich. They're just warriors. And Robin attacks them for no goddamn reason.
I have so many of the same points. So day two, this is me watching the movie again. The witch continues talking Robin Hood. Okay, so with an incantation and sparklers on a cape, Robin Hood gets like a magic quiver and bow because he sucks at shooting. The whole movie, by the way, he is bad at the bow and arrow. Okay, so, a bow and a quiver full of arrows appears, which gives it to Robin Hood and tells him to go to save his friends. An arrow hits a castle guard. Robin Hood did it. But he doesn't collect the arrow. He's got like six in there. Now Robin Hood's a dead shot. Again, he passes a fallen person and does not collect his arrow. collect your arrows. Guards throw bodies of Friar Tuck to a pile of dead bodies. You can see Tuck breathing. Robin Hood moves Tuck, and Tuck moves like he's alive. Robin Hood has super strength because of his potion. He carries his dead bodies away. Robin Hood then sneaks out on a guard and an armored woman who has a sword and a wolf shield. He kills. Robin Hood goes to a bridge. I think that's where Jonathan is.
Yeah. It was, and also the woman was quietly mumbling about the weather at the beginning of that scene. Like, she's just mumbling about the weather to her companion that is also walking with her. This is in such a way that I swear it was like something out of bad lip reading. And I challenge you to go and find that scene and listen to it again, because she's like, yes, it was really cold, but sometimes I just like it when it's cold. It's not so bad when it's cold. It was like that.
That's what the captains say.
What the fuck, really? So
the captains say exactly that. It's just like the sun was outside, and then I was cold, but don't know why I was cold. It was like Boomhauer from King of the Hill.
Like, yeah.
By the way, again, this movie's 1 hour and 53 minutes long. They could have cut that out.
Yeah. All right, so now Robin has that sword and shield. Next he comes to a bridge where a knight is demanding a toll. The knight has a full suit of armor, a horse, a lance, and a squire. Halfway through the fight, the squire runs off with the horse. Then Robin Hood tackles the knight into the water, where he presumably drowns. Again, there was no need for this scene. There was no reason for this scene to be in the movie at all.
Yeah, by the
other
way...
other than Robin just killing another person for no reason.
Yep.
As you mentioned, he's trying to get from point A to point B, and, like, he's tricking the guard. But where the hell is Tuck and Will?
He dropped them. He dropped them back in the forest.
Like, he drops him off, and then he fights the freaking knight at the bridge. And then, like, he miraculously shows up again with them. Like,
I think what's supposed to happen is that he's walking through the woods. He hears the dog bark. The dog is with the knight. Somehow Robin surmises that there's going to be a knight collecting tolls at the bridge. He needs to get across the bridge to get to the witch in time to get his friends the potion before they've gone a full day. So he drops the bodies, miraculously comes across mumbling lady and her friend, takes the sword and shield, runs to the bridge, kills the knight, then presumably goes back, picks up the dead guys, and makes his way to the witch's shack or cave or what the fuck ever, witch's den, to get them treated. That's my guess.
All right, continue along your narrative.
It's such a dumb moment, though. There was no need to have... I mean, it didn't add any drama, because they never made it clear that Robin Hood was like, well, son of a bitch, I've got to get across because I'm running out of time. If there had been a sense of urgency, that scene may have made sense. But instead, it just felt like a meaningless fight sequence that wasn't any good. All right, so Robin Hood tackles and presumably drowns. The witch proclaims Friar Tuck a true holy man, despite the fact that he's a racist liar. And says that both he and Will can be resurrected because it hasn't been too long. Tuck and Will wake up screaming. Then it transitions to the next day, and everyone is just quietly walking through the woods. Like, they are given a potion to bring them back, and they just start screaming at the top of their lungs, fade into day, and everyone's just walking through the woods. Will says he was surrounded by women and ale. Tuck says he was in heaven. St. Peter told Tuck that the stealing was more good than bad because they helped the less fortunate, so it was okay.
Okay, so
they returned to... Go ahead.
Wait, hang on. So, to your point, Tuck wakes up screaming, as does Will. Where are the ghosts? These are just revived men. Will and Tuck look fine. Tuck says, I was dead, and it was great. Will thought he was in heaven because he had all the ale and women he wanted. Tuck says that was hell. All caps. What? Bold. Tuck is asked, what is heaven like? Tuck says, heavenly. Robin Hood said, so God had no problem with the stealing? Peter explained to Tuck that it was not stealing. Will wonders why he went to hell. Thought it was because he murdered a murder he committed. Murder was because he was going to kill some. He was going to kill a guy that he happened to sleep with the wife of. So like he killed someone in self defense, but that guy was the husband of the woman he was sleeping with.
So yeah, he committed adultery and then defended himself by killing the husband.
Thank you. They also asked, "What's God like?" God is not a man. He's not a man. Is God a woman? Not a woman. What is God like? God is godly. Okay. Before we get to your next notes here, my notes here say this. I wonder if I could take some of the dialogue of this movie and put it in Rock and Roll Frankenstein to see what would happen. There you go.
There are just as many ghosts in Rock and Roll Frankenstein as there are in Robin Hood, Ghost of Sherwood. They return to camp where Marianne has transformed back into her old self. Now we get a music video, scenes of woodland joy. This song makes me want... Okay, go ahead.
We have the audio for this.
Oh, God.
Can we actually play the audio of this? Do we have it? It's called Love Song.
We've unleashed a horrible evil on the world.
Nope. That's the best line delivery. That's not
it. It's play audio only Love Song. We have it. Will it play?
Far beyond the kingdom's crown.
There it is.
Yeah, we could just have that play in the background there. It's so beautiful.
It is.
So it's funny because my note says this song makes me want to burn all the forests down. It makes everything I do. I do it for you. Seem like a sincere, deep, emotionally moving ballad. Robin gets all cryptic around Marianne around his borrowed time. So then Marianne gets pissed that Robin didn't tell her and that he made her fall in love with, quote, a condemned man, end quote. Marianne convinces Robin to go back to the witch and renegotiate a bit. Witch, you have a one-track mind, love. I don't know where... That was something to Marianne, and it actually made me laugh. Because Marianne confronts the witch and is trying to get her to give Robin his soul back. And she's like, fuck you, I don't know. I'm not going to do that. And Marianne ends up making a deal with the witch to try and get Robin his soul back and says... that the deal is to give the witch treasure, which she can then use to purchase souls from poor people. So if Robin was all about helping the poor, Marianne is all about enslaving their immortal souls. Way to go, girl.
That's awesome. So Marianne works out a deal with the witch, says she will give the witch money so she can trick others to sell souls. The deal is Robin Hood gets his soul back. Marianne justifies this deal when Robin Hood feels uneasy with this. Like, Robin Hood actually has an issue with this whole thing. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, Robin is like, I don't think this is such a good idea. And she's like, no, you are fucking doing this. And like, Marianne argues that any man greedy enough to sell his soul deserves what he gets. So my question is, would it necessarily have to be a matter of greed? Couldn't it be a matter of desperation? Where you have someone who is truly destitute and in dire, dire need of money and has no means of making it otherwise, and thus sells their soul in order to get some money, not through greed, but through the actual need to provide for a family. But Marianne, I guess, she's cool with that because Robin will have his soul back. It doesn't matter that hundreds of potentially desperate people will be doomed to torment in hell forever. So she's awesome.
Well, I mean, as we saw earlier in the film, Miriam has a very hard time dealing with even very simple issues. Yeah. things must be explained at least 50 times to her.
Marianne views the world in shades of white. There's not even black in it.
Pretty not much. Black.
So then my next note is, then a boy is shot with an arrow and Robin returns to camp to discover the sheriff's men have killed pretty much everyone. Tuck gets his head taken clean off. So they bring Tuck back to life, only for him to get decapitated. Robin gets shot in the chest multiple times. Okay, so everyone except Maid Marian is dead. While she checks on Robin, Little John, played by Kane Hodder, finally shows up. It is 1 hour, 21 minutes into the film when this happens. There are 35 more minutes to go. Man, this is a long movie. So it's back to the witch they go. There's also a lot of backtracking in this movie where characters just go to the same locations over and over again. That also gets irritating. So she's getting some serious business in this film. The witch tries to stop Marion, so Little John chops the witch's head off. Now we're getting to a zombie film because Marion returns with the undead potion to feed it to all the folks back in the camp. So now we have zombies, but not ghosts. They have weird pig-like screams, and they foam at the mouth. My favorite is a guy who is in blue who opens his eyes, looks around for a second, then immediately sits up spewing foam. Robin is also a zombie. A zombie with a motherfucking bow and arrow.
Okay, so before we get there, I have a couple of notes and I actually have a clip. So,
okay,
I have best part of this movie, realizing we should play clips from this movie. I found a new way to get SoundFlower to work on my Mac. Yay. So I would like to play The Return of Robin Hood, if we can, right now. The video. Actually, that's it.
So for people who couldn't see, the guy playing Robin Hood had some greenish grayish makeup on, like the cheapest kind of zombie makeup you would find at Halloween in like a grocery store, and probably about two Alka-Seltzers in his mouth so that he could produce a whole bunch of foam as he sits up, and then he looks around like a complete fucking moron.
Yep.
And that's a zombie. Mm-hmm. That's so pretty much what all the zombies look like.
No fucking ghosts.
Nope. So next I've got Little John seems mostly nonplussed about the whole thing. He recognizes that the zombies are going about their normal business. The zombies try to rob Little John and Marion, but neither of them have any valuables on them, so they're left alone. But two brigands who took all the treasure from Robin's hideout are a different story. The zombies go after them. Zombie Robin shoots both of them at the same time using two arrows fired simultaneously. The zombies retrieve the treasure and rip off one guy's arm to get a ring on that's on his finger. Then the zombie chews the finger off to get the ring. Then he eats the finger. Finger food. The zombie makeup, by the way, is some brownish-greenish makeup, and that's it. Little John then says, "Well, I think we unleashed a horrible evil upon the world."
Wait, so we have that clip. Horrible evil. Can we actually play the first half of Kane Hodder saying the horrible evil?
I think we've unleashed a horrible evil on the world.
That's it.
There's no thinking about it. We did.
Oh, her voice!
If we cannot eliminate them, just so then horrible. We have to contain them.
It's so amazing that he's just like, well, shit. You know what we did? We spilled some beans.
Got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, let me tell you.
Well, shit. We horrible evil on this world. Yep. What do we do now?
Guess we're kind of fucked, aren't we?
Again, Kane Hodder.
Yeah, Mary and Little John look through their collection of potions to see if there's anything they can use to defeat the zombies. And if you thought I talked a lot about potions earlier, oh boy. We're about to get into Potion City now.
Sip Zozo.
Yeah. One zombie keeps coming up to groan scream after chewing on a corpse, mostly to show off the gore on the zombie's face. So, like, every couple of seconds, it cuts back to the zombie rearing up from a corpse with blood streaming down its mouth, and then it goes back to whatever the scene was. Then it'll cut back to that same zombie a few seconds later. It's ridiculous. Little John drinks a potion that's supposed to make his skin as hard as a rock. So that's the problem I have. That's the potion. We never see that work. I don't think we ever see anybody hit Little John with something.
No.
Like an arrow breaking or something because it hits him and his skin is as hard as a rock.
You're right. There's no actual interaction. But he does some weird little interaction with the environment. And Mariner's like, that must mean it. And that's all we ever see that again. We also don't know how long the potions will last. So they actually covered that pretty well.
the potions are pretty fucking vague in this movie. So it's clear Kane Hodder.
By the way, every fucking potion, they're like, what does this potion do? It says this stone thing. Cool. I'm like, okay, well, I'm stone. Also, it says it lasts for 48 hours. Also, I need to say Sipzozo. And this and that. Like, they had the most detailed instructions ever.
I think that's
every fucking bottle.
That's totally fair. It makes me think of the Mighty Boosh. There's an episode where one of the characters has a potion of shaman juice that can only be activated in the presence of the full moon. So he writes it on the bottle so that he remembers that that's how you have to do it. And then, of course, the bottle gets stolen.
That's fine, except the fact is they act like they don't know what to do while this giant suction sheet.
Maybe the witch was inconsistent in her instructions. She's like, fuck it, I know what this does. So it's clear Kane Hodder is the only actor with a sense of timing here. He still has terrible lines, but at least he delivers them in a, you know, better than anyone else does. They come across people in the forest who and try to warn them about the zombies. Then Marion decides to let the people die when they are insulting. Marion was the best because she wanted to save them until they called her a whore, then said, okay, let them die. I actually thought that part was funny. So the zombie makeup has been replaced with really bad masks now. So instead of shitty makeup, we have shitty masks. They almost look like papier-mâché. Little John uses a potion that turns rocks into grenades if you say something like zippity-doo-dah while you throw them. This is what you were talking about, Ayaz.
Zip-zo-zo.
Yes.
Yeah. They also use... Yeah, zip-zo-zo. They also use a trap potion, which, Jesus Christ, is a thing in this movie. They have to choose where to trap the zombies, so Little John settles on forest. Way to go, big guy. Marion and Little John have no real sense of urgency as they try to escape, which is also true. When they're escaping, they're moving at a casual walk. They encounter a woman tied to two trees for some reason. We don't know why. And Marion tells Little John to keep the zombies at bay while she tries to rescue the woman. So the woman has an arm tied to each tree. So her arms are spread because they're tied up to the trees. Marion, being an idiot, can't untie the ropes. So she gives the woman one of the oh-so-helpful potions and tells her to say some magic words, which will help her. Turns out the potion makes the woman shoot lasers out of her eyes, which is helpful for exactly no seconds as the zombies rip her arms and face off. She does zap one zombie in the chest, but she immediately gets disemboweled afterward. Then Marion and Little John use another potion that fires Chinese rockets at the zombies, because why not? Except it really ends up hitting them instead of the zombies. But it's just little explosions that don't do anything. Marion and Little John escape the forest and discover that the zombies can't leave because of the trap potion they used earlier. Then Little John says they can't be caught using potions because he'll be regaled as a wizard and she'll be burned at the stake as a witch. Seems to me they could, I don't know, throw the goddamn bag away. Marion, for some reason, needs to visit her cousin, so she plans on visiting him, her cousin being the Sheriff of Nottingham. She plans on visiting him in her transformed state, you know, the one she did before, because that's how he recognizes her, despite the fact they never really established this properly in the movie, since everyone recognized her on sight previously. But Little John explains that if she takes it again, she'll change permanently, because she will have had more than 9 drops total. Sad trombone. Ah, now we see Marion is going to transform herself so that she can assassinate her cousin, because her cousin let his own wife die and didn't care. So she's avenging the wife, plus Robin and crew. The sheriff rides up and encounters transformed Marion. She tricks him into riding into the forest with all the zombies. Then we go to the credits. And I was like, really? The fucking movie? That's how the fucking movie ends?
Yep.
Marion, transformed Marion, runs into her cousin and says, go that way. They go that way. And then the credits? But we get a little bit more. Then we get another scene with a woman in the stocks as a guard says the sheriff will see to her. Little John shows up and claims to be the Sheriff of Nottingham now. He reveals that Marion's family has put him in charge. So the former Sheriff of Nottingham, Marion's cousin, has been killed by zombies. And now Little John is the acting sheriff. He's got a witch captured and threatens to torture her. He tries to see if she can reverse the curse of the undead upon the Merry Men. Little John commands Guy of Gisborne, That's another character. That's one of the characters who immediately recognized Marion in her transformed state for no reason. To place a package in the road and leave before dark. So Gisborne and his men ride off. Then Marion says the title of the movie, Ghosts of Sherwood, and we go to credits for realsies with a really awful song playing over the credits. Aha, the credits reveal a lip sync script suggesting that everyone was lip syncing to an existing track. That explains it. That's the rest. That's all my notes.
The end.
The end.
So, like, that, the fucking movie ends with 11 minutes left. I have my notes here. Why did the credits go when the movie won't end? Because they keep the credits. And there's 11 minutes left. It's so bad.
Well, it's one of those things where you feel what they're trying to do is capture on the Marvel approach, where in a Marvel film you might get a post-credits, like a mid-credit sequence and maybe a post-credit sequence.
But a minute is one thing. 11 minutes.
Yeah.
11 minutes.
It was bad. This was a terrible movie. It was awesome.
And, by the way, this is available, this is available in 3D.
Yeah.
Because all the credits are but 3D stereoscopic, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you know what, Ayaz? I think you can't ask for a better 3D film than a Robin Hood movie where Robin Hood can't shoot for shit.
That was a good twist.
I mean,
Eric, you talk.
Oh, I don't have anything to talk about.
What was your reaction
on Fuller House, because that was horrible.
We're so long in this episode. This is so rare.
We're pretty long. We can save that to next week if we need to.
No, we are talking about Fuller House in the next 5 minutes.
All right.
And then we'll look in the future because it's time. So currently on Podcast Without Pretense, Eric, what do you think about Fuller House?
What I said to Jonathan was what I think of it. It was like they were trying to emulate Too Many Cooks, and it kind of worked.
I said that the first episode in particular is so cringe-inducingly awful, so amazingly beyond the pale terrible, that if they had done it on purpose as a satire, it would be the most brilliant thing I have seen in a year.
You know,
they were being sincere. There was no satire there.
Wait, so I watched all 13 episodes. They were not being sincere at all. They were trying very hard to just be dumb. And they were very, this is a TV show. It was so dumb and intentionally dumb. I think it didn't suck.
I disagree. I disagree that it was intentionally dumb. I think it was done to intentionally emulate the style of 1990s sitcoms, which in 2016
they never broke the fourth wall. They never broke the fourth wall in the 1990s.
No, but that was only in that first episode. They didn't break the fourth wall in every fucking episode. They only broke it in the first one.
Wait, I've watched the whole series. About four times they do it. Anyway.
I would argue that it's not intentional, because
all I'm arguing is that this show, Fuller House, better than Robin Hood.
Well,
what the fuck, dude? A root canal is better than Robin Hood.
I win.
No, you don't win. Fuller House is shit. Okay, so
what?
The first episode of Fuller House. If every episode of Fuller House was the equivalent of that first episode of Fuller House, Robin Hood would be better. Boom.
Yeah.
Truth bomb.
But Robin Hood's 2 hours and 30 minutes, which is all the episodes of Fuller House.
No, it's not. Fuller House, every episode is half an hour, and they're 13 of the fuckers. Do your math, dude. That's six and a half hours.
I'm telling you. Go ahead.
I mean, I watched the second episode, and I mean, it was better than it was not as cringeworthy as the first episode. But Jonathan, you got to three or something like that?
I got to six. I got
the six. So
the first episode is one of the worst things I've ever watched. and it even took me four tries to get through the first episode. To be fair, three of those tries were when Jesse starts singing his song Forever.
Oh, God.
And then everyone joins in, because that is the most cringe-inducing moment in that entire first episode. And that's saying something. The first episode is beyond dreadful. And like I said, if they were intentionally going for it, it would be brilliant satire. But for satire to work, you have to know that it's satire. Right. They never once indicate, tip their hat, or nod that it is actually satirizing the original Full House. Every episode after that seems to be a sincere attempt to tell a story using the 1990s model of a sitcom, but not in a way that sends up 1990s sitcoms. It simply emulates them as perfectly as possible, which tells me it's a sincere attempt at being a 1990s style sitcom, not a spoof, a parody, or satire.
For the second episode... Wait, for episode 200, we will actually have the showrunners of that show talk to us. But
okay,
before then,
all right.
Next week, whose turn is it?
I think it's yours, Ayaz.
Well, that means it is time for...
Oh, we know what's happening. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, it's that fucking Kirk Cameron movie.
Yes, it's happening. Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas on Hulu.
On Hulu.
Available March 12th. We're watching it for Wednesday next week. We record the shows on Wednesdays.
It's Saturday? Saturday.
Yeah, so Jonathan, don't cry. Look how unhappy you are.
You can still watch stuff on Hulu for free, right?
I don't know. I'll get you my account. I don't care.
No, because I remember there used to be a way.
Commercials.
No.
So I don't fucking care if there are commercials.
Next time for episode 145, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas is the thing we're watching. We'll talk Christmas in March.
Yeah, close enough.
Anyway, I think it's now time, since it's like been an hour. Sorry, Kia Stacy. Let's look into the future. Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
I still want to fucking know whatever happened to predictability.
You know, I think that if you take Nick Cage and like Elijah Wood, they might be the perfect Bob Belcher.
I mean, like, none of the presents got destroyed. I wasn't sure what he was trying to save.